You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Mark, the stock markets were down today after, again, setting new record highs. Is this just a little blip, or could this be a trend we should be concerned about?
Well, we're sitting in October, and as you know, the conventional viewpoint was we could have a down September, and that didn't happen. And usually the market, you know, hits a bottom in September, maybe early October, and then takes off for the, you know, fourth quarter rally and so forth. But instead, despite a budget hang up in Washington, I think it's over a week now, the market been pretty much holding its own, S&P into new highs. Not every stock. You're seeing a lot of divergences with advances and declines, the negative creating a negative picture here. So many stocks are not participating, but, you know, they managed to get the S&P into a new high. But we're sitting in October, and I was around during the October crash in 1987, and, you know, it sort of came out of the blue. There was some warning in early October, and, you know, we're in that time frame now, so if we start getting some sell signals here, maybe by the middle part of the month, we could, potentially repeat that scenario. But we'll see. You know, it'll come as a surprise if it comes, because most people have discounted it, or it'll be triggered by some outlier event that we don't know about right now. We can talk later about the geocosmic, like this comet and stuff that's floating out there that people are talking about that probably wouldn't affect us for many months anyway. But, you know, so I'm always thinking, what could the outlier event be that would, you know, trigger that? So, could come. You know, I'm still bullish overall. We still have higher targets for the year, but, you know, it would be nice if we had a nice super sell-off, shake the trees, so to speak, you know, get a lot of the weak sisters out of the way. You know, I looked at a stock like Apple Computer, which didn't want to go down, you know, in the last few weeks, now starting to break a little bit, and it looks a little lower to me, and that's, you know, it's in the, you know, in indices, so that could possibly be a trigger. I'd be a little careful here. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you've been in it all year or last few years, you're doing great, and I'm not suggesting you should wholesale sell everything out or anything, but if you're a trader, we're keeping an eye on a bunch of stuff, and as a trader, I would love to see confirm sell signal for two reasons. One, it would allow us to get short and make some money on a nice, well overdue pullback. And two, it would provide another buying opportunity on a shakeout. At the same time, you know, we're seeing like all the gold bugs getting shook up here a little bit. You know, gold was down, I don't know, $70, $80 today or something last I checked after it got over 4,000. And part of the reason that's being attributed to that is a bounce in the U.S. dollar. I don't always agree that they have to move inversely, because many times they go together, but that could possibly create, you know, a bit of a sell-off here, which is also way overdue. Too many gold bulls out there. You know, we hit 4,000, and if you had told me a year or two ago we'd be 4,000 now, I'd probably laugh a little bit, saying, well, that could happen in my lifetime, but I don't necessarily think it's going to happen in the next year or two, and sure enough, it did. You know, I've been trading gold since, God knows, what, the early 1980s, you know, paying $400 or $500 an ounce and going up to 800 and watching it go back to 200 and now up at 4,000. So it's like a lifetime situation. You know, you're talking 40 years, you know, waiting for it to go up, and it wasn't worth it. But, you know, you couldn't make a living on that if you were trading it, unless you were able to get in and out every day. It just took too many years for it to finally take off. So they always say, you know, sometimes the blow off, the big move comes at the very end, and everybody gets euphoric, which they are right now. So many analysts were looking for 5,000 short term, and we got the 4,000. So I still keep a few coins in the vault because they're pretty and I like looking at them, but I'm not a big gold bug or silver bug. I have some silver too sitting in the vault, but like anything else, it's like a 40-50 year type play or something you never sell. And most of what I do is trading individual stocks and maybe even gold stocks, but in and out, not sitting there hoping the last 40 years that it's going to save my retirement. So anyway, that's just because I have more of a trading mentality, not a buy and hold mentality. And if I had a buy and hold mentality, my life would be boring, and I wouldn't want to buy and just walk away and go play golf. I'd rather trade the market, which is more exciting. So that's sort of the story. But you answered the question about the stock market. Yeah, it's acting a little funny here during this government freeze here in the U.S. There was good news coming out of Israel with President Trump today about the first phase of the peace treaty and the potential release now of some hostages and so forth. So we'll see where all that goes. Pretty much, just have to wait and watch here and look at the indicators and see if they change. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it would be sort of nice to see a sharp sell-off just to clear the air a little bit because, we're sitting here in stratospheric levels with at least the major indices.
Do you think gold is going to come back from this, that this is just a minor blip?
You could have asked me that question any time in the last 40 years, and I probably would have said the same thing, yes. But the question is, what is your time frame and what is your patience? Way overbought. I think the intrinsic value, or the computerized real time value, is way below where it is right now. It's probably around 2,800 or so. The best expression is the fair value of it. So it got overdone here. That would be nice that if we got it down there, that'd give us a nice trading opportunity. But like I said, if you have the coins in the vault and you like looking at them, they're pretty. Many of them have a lot of good art on it. I particularly favor the Buffalo version of the U.S. 1 ounce coin. It's got a beautiful, description or visualization of the buffalo and everything. It's a beautiful coin, and I just like looking at it. So I'd probably look at it forever. I probably would never sell it just because it's a pretty ornament. But as far as gold, the gold stocks start to pull back here with the dollar rallying. I mean, this could be a trigger of a more significant correction, which is long overdue. So we'll just watch it day to day. A lot of reasons that gold probably should not come down big, is because of the government's supposed U.S. government's interest in tying gold to the treasury bonds and a connection with the crypto market and a lot of fun stuff that the government or Donald Trump's administration is working on and talking about. So in that sense, there's some bigger plans probably for gold. I know Donald Trump loves gold. He has gold curtains in the Oval Office and so forth. So, I guess my, gut feeling is correction, yes, but bear market, no. And then hopefully if you're a trader, there'll be a nice buy point below the market.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with Bitcoin and other cryptos?
Well, it hit a new high since our last broadcast. It got up to 126,000, which I believe I had mentioned as a short-term target. And then it sold off back to about 121,000, and now it's sort of floating around here. But I did get a little trading sell signal in it, in my work, and I don't know if it's just for a little correction here, or it's a first warning of a top forming. Sometimes you go through multiple phases here, you get a sell signal, then it rallies back. So my overall feeling is you got to be careful because it's way up here, and it could go to 135, 140, 150. That's still possible, and it could happen between now and the end of the year. But, you know, we're in a sort of a Bitcoin, crypto, more Bitcoin than crypto. Many have done well, but Bitcoin itself, a bit of a frenzy phase here. You know, a lot of talk about it, the new highs. You know, when it sold down to about 78,000, if you remember a couple, 3 months ago, that was a nice buy point. You know, it's rallied, you know, how much, you know, $50,000 since then. So it's had a big move. So I have it in my newsletter. We've had it for a long time, my blockchain letter. I'm not selling it here, though I'm very tempted to do so. I'm just watching carefully. Sometimes, you know, tops are complicated events. You know, you get a sell signal, as I mentioned a moment ago, you rally back up again, and you go through this choppy topping phase. So there is a chance that between now and year end, we could get a very significant intermediate top forming, and whether we just saw it at 126,000 or whether it'll come, you know, 10 or 15,000 higher between now and year end is a possibility. It doesn't mean it's the end of Bitcoin. It just means you may go through a very serious corrective phase. We've seen many of these in the last 13 years or so. So we're still in it, but I'm getting a bit nervous, and we'll just have to watch.
What's going on with crude?
I'm still a bear. I'm long the inverse ETF for crude oil, hoping that we'll see $47 a barrel, which is sort of an unfulfilled target. And at the same time, we're starting to see a little life in natural gas, but it just can't seem to hold its gains. It starts to pop up and then pull back. And the reason I bring that up, because there's a big connection now with the big demand for nuclear energy to fulfill the demands of AI and so forth. At the same time, they're talking about, gee, until those nuclear plants get up and provide all the energy we need to run these computers and so forth, they may have to rely on natural gas as a bridge. GE Vernova, which is the big company that produces many of the reactors, also produces equipment for natural gas energy production as well. Their business seems to be booming there. So, you know, I just have this gut feeling, and looking at the charts, that, you know, there's still a chance here natural gas could have a big run just during this bridge period between now and the time nuclear actually kicks in. And this could be not, you know, 1 or 2 day comment. It could be multi-months or even a couple year time frame. It depends when the nuclear facilities get completed and how soon a company like GE Vernova and others can actually deliver the nuclear equipment that's needed. So it's a watch, and I change the subject a little bit because I'm talking about natural gas now, but crude oil is still, it's got a bearish chart, in my opinion. And, you know, with this new peace settlement with the you know, with Gaza, Hamas, and so forth, assuming it holds, the likelihood of, unless Iran does something crazy, the idea that crude oil is suddenly going to explode on a geopolitical trigger seems to be reduced here a little bit. So that helps me a little bit in feeling that crude oil may still go sideways to lower.
Anything going on with uranium?
More with lithium. Uranium's getting a little extended here, but still overall bullish. The charts aren't bearish, but, you know, it's awfully extended. But lithium, which was way depressed, start to take off here. A lot of lithium stocks have started to rally. And there's a story here the last 24 hours or so, maybe it's going back further than that, that China is curtailing its lithium exports. So that helps some of the lithium-related stocks. So I would say that seems to be, you know, more in play here short-term, you know, than the uranium play, which has already had, you know, one heck of a, you know, big move. If you look at CCJ, which is Cameco, which is, of course, your big Canadian, and I guess big play in that it's had a huge, huge run here, basically from the 30s to the 80s, up 50 points in the last few months. So it's hanging up there near its highs, but it's way extended, so I'm not a buyer up here. I think it's made a big move, so not bearish, it's just that I wouldn't chase it.
Anything going on the cannabis front?
Cannabis is sort of hanging in there. A little stock we've talked about, we've joked about a little bit on these interviews, Tilray.
Yeah.
You know, this was the big Canadian, cannabis stock, you know, going back, it was a 2016, 2018 time frame, and it went public in Canada, and it went to, I have my numbers wrong. I thought it was 150, but some people say it went to $250 a share on a short squeeze. I was watching it when it happened, so I don't recall the exact number, but I know it went straight up one day, and it was because of a short squeeze. So the cannabis industry sort of went to hell and for a few years, and the stock got down to 35 cents, which we've talked about on these interviews. It's now said today it got up to about $2.30. So that's a hell of a percentage move for a cannabis company, which was nearly out of business, if you were able to catch it. And we were mentioning it and talking about it when it was way down there. So had almost a, eight, nine times advance here. So when you ask how cannabis is doing, if you bought Tilray, which was one of the former leaders here, any time in the past 6 months or so, you probably paid, anywhere from 30 to 80 cents for it, and now it's $2.10, so that did pretty well. But, the story is Donald Trump put out a video a couple weeks ago saying, because seniors need marijuana for health reasons and how it's beneficial, it sort of kicked life back into the cannabis stocks a little bit. So Aurora and Trulieve and MSOS, which is the ETF for U.S. cannabis, they all had a big spike, and they're sort of hanging in there, and they look like they want to go higher. So the pressure is to get cannabis rescheduled from Schedule 1 down to 3. And that's, again, we can spend an hour about this. I keep saying the same thing over and again. I hate to keep bringing it up, but there's more to the story than just rescheduling it, including banking laws and things that have to change here in the U.S. because it was never made federally legal like it was done in Canada. So it's a much more complicated situation here. But the fact Trump has been talking about it and the stocks are finding buyers, it's definitely on the watch list here if you're trading, because they do have their little trading moves and maybe something will happen and they'll really take off again. I mean, the bottom line is there's a big audience for cannabis. I mean, if you're in retirement communities around the country in Canada or anywhere, seniors love the CBD and the THC, and some of the cannabis is beneficial, and there are health benefits to doing it, even though the medical profession won't broadly acknowledge this. They'll say it's anecdotal. There's been no studies. They ignore the fact that it's been around 5,000 years and it's helped people forever. It's just that it's been degraded because of the pharmaceutical industry not wanting us to buy it. So it's all BS, so it does have value. The question is how it's prescribed, how it's used, and so forth. So you asked me about cannabis. I have to remain bullish because the stocks are still relatively cheap compared to where they've been. There's still potential government changes here, particularly here in the U.S. And, the companies, many of them make money. They're most of them, the U.S.-based cannabis companies, have, like I mentioned, Trulieve is one of them, are profitable. So, and they have decent cash flow. So, and that's because people realize that there's value to the product. So I'm a bull.
On the geocosmic front, anything we should be keeping an eye on the sky with?
Well, you know, I'm always watching the skies, and this is where everybody probably hangs up the interview because they don't want to hear about comets and the planets and the moon and so forth. But this past week, there was a lot of discussion, as you probably know, about this this comet that's floating around out there. And you know, it's I guess it's a news story in town, you know, regarding what's going on in the universe. I've been paying attention to Avi Loeb from Harvard University. Remember, in the last few years, there was a comet that came, or a, I guess, some type of object, which they named Oumuamua, that flew through the solar system, and it didn't follow the normal pattern of comets or objects, where it just came shooting through the solar system. And it seemed like it was under its own power, and it was coming from another galaxy, and it wasn't part of our own solar system. So the question was, really a comet, or was it an extraterrestrial vehicle? And Avi Loeb from Harvard wrote a book entitled Extraterrestrial, describing that event. And he's now being quoted, you know, with regard to, you know, there's a comet that just passed Mars, as you probably know. It's been in the news the last few days, and it's circling around, and it's supposed to go through the pass through the sun and head back supposedly in our direction, I think around December of this year. And you know, there's again discussion, is this the name of the comet is 3I Atlas, and the question is, Dr. Loeb asked, is this interstellar object an artificial alien intelligence, or is it really a comet? And the way it's acting and the way it's traveling, you know, people say, oh, you know, you don't want to talk about this stuff. There's no such thing as extraterrestrials or visitors and all this nonsense, which is bogus because absolutely there are things out there that we don't understand. So Atlas, 3-1 Atlas, 3-I Atlas is going to come floating around after it passes around the sun in December. And we're going to find out, hopefully Avi Loeb could help us. And see whether it's going to come anywhere near the Earth or it's something we could observe. So it's just, you know, fascinating stuff. And as far as the, you know, geocosmics elsewhere is concerned, we had a full moon on the 6th of the month. And, you know, that's only a few days ago. And maybe it's coincident with little toppy action here in the market. We have a new moon on the 21st of the month. So you have to watch that time frame for a little change point. And that's pretty much it. There's very minimal activity on the solar front. I checked spaceweather.com, and apparently nothing to worry about on solar flares here, at least for the next few days. There's also another comet out there called Comet Lemon. So much attention being focused on this 3I Atlas. Apparently this is really a comet, and it's floating out there, and you can see it in the night skies. They say more in the southern hemisphere than the northern hemisphere, but you could look for Comet Lemon out there, which is floating out as well. So I became very, even though I'd been very interested in this for decades, I became more and more active this summer. Listeners probably heard me talk about my experiences at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is, I think it was Newsweek magazine said it was the greatest or newest science facility in North America. But anyway, they have that's the location where Pluto was discovered back in the 1930s. Percival Lowell, and that it was the founder, and that's where it's named. But there's a huge facility there, and I spent a lot of evenings observing the stars through their very significant telescope systems and going to their lectures. So reliving a little bit of childhood interest and learning a great deal. And we had some guest speakers there, some former astronauts and others. They were giving presentations, planetary scientists and stuff. So it was a really a fantastic, life-changing experience to actually spend time there and, you know, really look at the stuff that you may not have spent a lot of time doing over the years. So that was a big part of my my summer. So I've been always interested in this stuff, but this was really great having that experience. But right now we're just listening to some leading scientists like Avi Loeb and watching comets. And as you know, I'm always looking at some of the geocosmics in terms of their potential effect on the markets and humankind, which is not really talked about or addressed very much. We seem to always think that what the U.S. Congress does with the budget or with earnings reports from companies or what the Federal Reserve does and doesn't do is all that matters to economics or the stock market, where indeed there could be other influences, possibly geocosmic, that affect us as well. So it'd be just an interesting study that I've had for many years and enjoy talking about it. But that's sort of the summary on the geocosmic. And as far as the markets, should be an interesting October with gold hitting a little top here and stocks, you know, on a little balancing act based on short-term news. So we should have fun here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the reason I always put in geocosmics, both of us are old enough to have watched the moon landing live.
Right. Correct. And they still question whether it really happened or not.
Do you think Russia and China didn't track every inch of that travel to and from and the transmissions? If it had been faked, wouldn't they have been screaming bloody blue murder?
I would have thought so. Absolutely.
Yes. And were they not involved in that race as well? Of course they were.
Of course they were. And yeah. You know, we got China on the moon now, actually landing a craft on the dark side and taking pictures. This is not recently, I think it was a couple or more years ago. And we've got competition out there. We've got the European Space Agency doing stuff. We've got China doing it, Japan, Israel. You know, a lot of people, a lot of stuff going on. I mean,
yeah,
after
the Soviet Union and the U.S., Canada was next in launching a satellite into space. So and about a third of the crew involved in the Apollo project to go to the moon were Canadian because they were all from the canceled Avro Aero project.
Wow, right. I didn't know that. That's fantastic stuff. So we have a lot of stuff going on out there. And, you know, Elon Musk is planning the Mars mission. And, you know, I'm convinced that there was a lot of stuff that we saw or the astronauts saw on the moon that they were unable to report or were told not to report. And as you know, it's sort of a big mystery why so many years have passed, why we delayed going back. So a lot of theories about what really happened up there and what's been going on and not going on. And I have my own theories, but, you know, I don't want to confuse the interview now with a lot of speculation. But I've done and heard a lot of really strange stories about what's happened on the moon, what's there, what's not there, and what the astronauts saw, supposedly, or didn't see.
Yeah.
And it's
somebody watching over their shoulders.
Right. I mean, this tremendous story. You know, and the fact that the stories or rumors are correct, the things that they may have seen on the moon, you know, have contradicted just about all the anti-science, you know, science fiction type stuff that people think is unreal may indeed be true. So fantastic stuff, exciting times. You know, we got exciting markets, we got comets, we've got all kinds of fun things there. This is what makes getting up in the morning well worthwhile. I love it.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.